First reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, reading from verse 1 to verse 7. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing. The land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up.
Our second reading today is from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. I want to say a special thank you as we begin this new series to our wonderful team here at Fig Tree Anglican Church, because if you look behind me, there's a really lovely set piece. And if you look on the screens, there's a really well-designed set of slides and images. So Elise, our communications and design coordinator, and Greg, our creative arts and music minister, and then Rob, our dear servant who put it all up. I just want to say a really big thank you to you guys, because this looks great, doesn't it? It's very exciting for our commitment series. Oh, bless you. Thank you. Look, I'm excited. We're looking at this topic, committed, and as we do so, we're going to do so in the company of God's Word. We had a reading from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, a reading from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John. And the big idea for the series, I suppose, is being committed to the Lord our God, being committed to the Lord our God. We do, as Shane noted, a commitment series every year. And as we've been doing so, you may recall, for those who are here, that we looked at what it means not just to be involved, but to be committed in 2022. I used the example of an Australian breakfast, where we can see clearly that the chicken was involved and the pig is committed. And we looked at our time and our treasures, our testimonies and our talents, committed as Christ was committed to us. And then in last year's commitment series, we considered what it means to surrender all to Jesus. You remember our theme song was "All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give." And we looked at the domains of everything for everyone, everywhere, and that into eternity. Well, committed to the Lord your God, we'll consider the domains of heart, mind, soul, and strength over these next 4 weeks. There are seasons, aren't there, in life, and I feel in many ways that we're having our seasons across our time as Fig Tree Anglican Church. Certainly my experience since we've been here is we arrived on the tail end of COVID, and in many ways these 3 years have been a period of survival by God's grace. There's not a family or individual in our church who wasn't impacted by COVID, but thankfully it's now endemic rather than pandemic, and the Lord in some ways has pruned us as a church. But by his grace, he's provided fertile soil. We've been applying the fertilizer of God's word, so to speak, and our hope is that we, over the next 3 years, might move into a period of revival as that fertilizer takes its effect and we see flourishing, and then, God willing, we may very well see some significant fruit as we may thrive by his grace. And the prayerful discernment that we have together of the Lord's vision for his church in the years ahead hinge really on some very simple biblical ideas. We're on mission, all of us. Jesus for everyone, forever. A verse that many around the world know is John 3:16. God loved the world in this. He gave his only son, that everyone believing in him will not perish but have life forever. Beyond that, we consider what it means to be members of his church family as we know Jesus and grow in him, sorry, and so for him. And a scripture that comes to mind in that space is Colossians 2, where Paul writes to the church, "So then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to grow in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And then finally, of course, this notion of maturity. God matures his people in preparation to meet the Lord Jesus face to face. And a verse that comes to mind here is in Colossians 1:28. "We proclaim Jesus, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ." You may recall last week we had a sort of one-off talk that straddled the previous series we looked at, Connected, where we considered what it meant to be finding meaning in the Lord Jesus, whether in singleness or in marriage. And then as we look at our new series, Committed, there is a kind of golden thread, which is this notion of hearing that the Lord your God, the Lord is one. It's very important to look at this topic because the most important relationship in your life and mine is our vertical relationship with God, and how that flows out into all our horizontal relationships within the church family and within our community. In fact, God says in his word that the most important dynamic in life for everyone is relationships. So God values and treasures our commitment to him. He values and treasures it when we commit to one another. He committed to us in sending his son Jesus to lay down his life for us, for our sins, for our salvation. And he longs for us to love him and to learn from him, to long for him and to live for him. And all this we find in the very word of God. And so we're hoping together to build a deepening biblical understanding of ourselves and our world and our God. I'm putting together some studies for our life groups. They're called Devotions in Deuteronomy. They'll take us through the early chapters, and I hope they'll be a blessing for us as we spend that time together as a kind of parallel journey in our sermon series. But for now, the big idea for this talk is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And I'm going to pray that God would indeed help us on that journey. So perhaps we could bow our heads together and pray. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we do pray that you prepare our hearts and our heads to hear and heed your word, not only this morning, but over the course of this month and beyond. Holy Spirit, help us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, to learn with all our mind, to long with all our soul, and to live with all our strength. In the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Look, some people really appreciated it when I sang the other week. Others didn't. I'm in the mood. I didn't do it at 8. But we have this verse, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And that word Shema, to hear, has a lot more to it than simply to hear. It means both to hear and to respond, to heed God's commands. Why? Because God is God. He is not a God of the human mind's making. He is not in creation or of creation or like creation. He is creator. He is God. And so, because God has spoken, we must hear him and heed him. And in the historical context of these words, these are the commands, the decrees and the laws that the Lord your God directed me, Moses, to teach you, Israel, to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will remember, of course, that the nation of Israel had been wandering around the wilderness for many years in preparation to take the land that had been promised to them. And Moses continues, so you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his commands and decrees that I give you so that you may enjoy a long life. I don't know whether you're aware of what a homophone is. I had to do some homework on the grammatical classification of these words as I was wrestling with this week, but a homophone is a word that has the same sound but the different meaning. And so it's important to write them right, if you hear what I'm saying. And in this verse, where we look at the blessings in verse 3 of chapter 6, that it may go well and that you may increase much, there are homophones that kind of amplify the intensity of what Moses is sharing from God. God is saying, hear and heed, O Israel, Shema, and be careful to obey, Shema, so that it may go well with you and you may increase much. God wants to bless his people. This is the promise that he made to their forefathers. And today, like God's chosen people then, we love God when we hear and heed and obey or keep his word. So to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and literally your muchness. These commands I give to you today, they're to be on your hearts. In fact, the way in which those words of God are imprinted upon our hearts are as this, we've done them already. In fact, the word is, I have, which kind of springs to me as a memory hook to go, I have already obeyed. Simply to hear is to obey. That is how to love God. To love God is to treasure the very command of God in such a way that it filters out through every aspect of our loving and our learning and our longing and our living. And we also love God when we not only obey his commands ourselves, but we also teach others to do likewise, especially the next generation. Impress these commands, verse 7, on your children. Literally, pierce their very hearts with love. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. What a joy it is to have been able to read the word of God with our little ones since the day they were born. Very simple Bibles and prayers for the little ones that become, you go through Bibles, don't you, every year or two as your children grow. But how good it is to hear and heed and keep and speak and read and write the very word of God with the young people in your life. Isn't that true? For your children, for your children's children, for your nieces and nephews, perhaps for the kids alongside whom you do kids' ministry, or for scripture teachers, or wherever there are young ones in our lives. May we teach them, sharpen them, pierce them with the very word of God. As a practical expression at Fig Tree Anglican Church, we invest in our church children. Our children now are being invested in by the teams of people who have set themselves aside. We're so thankful to have Mary Pickford on as a full-time children's and scripture minister, and the fact that she's raised up teams to do Playhouse and Manor Clubhouse and our scripture teams and our kids' church teams. And this commitment month, I plan to update you on our prayers and plans for preschoolers and for kids. Our prayers and plans for our youth, our prayers and plans for our young people, and our prayers and plans for intergenerational ministry. And I was very thankful last month to be at Synod, where we committed ourselves specifically to investing in the young people in our church, that together we may love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our muchness. Now, these commands, of course, were ones that Moses, on behalf of God, gave to Israel, but you and I know that there's only one person who can live in perfect obedience to the commands and decrees and laws of God, isn't there? There's only one person who could do it in all of history, and his name is Jesus. And so it's so important that alongside this Old Testament reading, we have a New Testament reading in which we see how God has loved us. You remember I said earlier that quote from John 3:16, that God has loved the world in this. He gave his one and only Son, so everyone believing in him will not perish, but have life forever. God did not send him to condemn the world, but to save it. And Jesus makes this radical claim, both in the Gospel of John and in the biography by Matthew, that he came to fulfill every good command of God, Matthew chapter 5, 17 to 20. And he says, to love others for his followers is to follow him in obedience to God's word, teaching others to do the same. In the reading we had, it describes how Jesus says, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And pretty much every translation says, I give you a new command, and I don't like that translation. Do you know why? Because there's really nothing new about it. Jesus came to fulfill the enduring command of God to love. It's not a replacement. This is fulfillment. This is Jesus who heard and heeded and kept the very word of God. And now his love for his disciples is fulfilling God's word, and it bore for him both blessing and bruising. He goes on in John 15, verses 9 to 11, to say, as the Father has loved me, so I have also loved you. Remain in my love. Keep my commands, and you will remain in my love, as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you these things. Why? So that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Jesus keeps us in. He ensures we are in him and that we remain. And on the other hand, he says to us, keep my commands. And so it's kind of 100% Jesus and 100% us. And I know the maths doesn't work, but there it is. But very wonderfully, he says there is joy in this. Love for Jesus vertically is expressed in love for others horizontally. That gives him joy and that gives us joy. This is my command, says Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I call you friends since I've made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. Jesus, of course, talking to his disciples at that time, was going to lay his life down for them. Jesus, as we read his words today, has already made that sacrifice and been raised and ascended to the right hand of his Father. And this is why Jesus chose you. Do you know, it feels very much to me like I made a decision for Jesus. I remember back in the late 90s where I was there and I made a very conscious decision to say, Jesus, I will follow you. But at the same time, I said, Jesus, I surrender everything to you. I think sometimes we can say to ourselves and one another, I made a decision for Jesus then. I invited Jesus into my heart then. But look at these words. Jesus says, you did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you. Who's doing the choosing here? Jesus then says, I chose you, I appointed you, go and bear lasting fruit. As all you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So my command to you, love one another. Do you know that Jesus chose you? He chose you. He wants you, if you've not yet surrendered, but he chose you, and not because there's anything special about you. No, in love he adopted us. In love before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in love before him. Shane referred to this scripture as we started our time together, that we've been predestined to be adopted as sons and daughters in the Lord Jesus for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, Ephesians 1. This is the relentless love of God for you. You didn't earn it. It's not deserved. God didn't choose you because you're so impressive, nor me. God did not choose Israel because they were strong or mighty. He chose a landless, weak Israel because he's faithful to his promises that he made to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is always faithful to his promises. He does choose and continues to call his people, Deuteronomy 6, his treasured possession, Psalm 134, and even the apple of his eye, Zechariah chapter 2. We as followers of God's Son follow a Jewish Savior who saved us from our sins. We follow a risen Messiah who still has love in his heart, first for the Jew and for the Gentile. Now, Jesus makes himself available to everyone. He has a passion for us that is enduring, and he calls us to harness the passions of our hearts. And I ask you, what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and where is your passion? We're all passionate people in some way or other. Some of us express it very visibly on the outside. Others of us hold it close to our heart. But we long, do we not, to make an eternal impact, trusting that we've been chosen to bear lasting fruit when we ask God to change the world, because he's given us agency and intelligence to do this. And I'm indebted to the work of Steve Covey, who wrote the books The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and The 8th Habit, for some of the ideas that I'm going to get us to consider today as we think about the alignment of intelligence. When we speak of intelligence, we tend to think of mental intelligence or mind intelligence, but there's much more to us than this. Charles Handy picked this up years and years ago. Edward de Bono too. In addition to mind intelligence, there's also emotional intelligence, what the experts call EQ, which I think is aligned to the heart. Similarly, spiritual intelligence aligned to the soul, physical intelligence aligned to the body, as IQ or mental intelligence is aligned to the mind. And over the weeks ahead, we shall explore these ideas together and see if they help us scaffold how to develop an impact for the kingdom. But I want to ask you first, what's your heart's passion? What's the thing that gets you really fired up? That kernel of hot fire that needs tempering and needs to be aligned. If passion is in the heart, vision is formed in the mind. Conscience is God's gift as a guide. And with discipline through our strength, you can see how those four domains work together. Passions, fire, and conviction need sustaining discipline, strength, and attaining the mind's vision. And for us as God's people, prayerfully discerning Jesus' mind under the direction of the Holy Spirit and in alignment with his word. It gives us a foundation for executing his purposes. We can imagine a future vision in mind, and we discipline our bodily strength to action, processes and pathways to achieve outcomes. But the passion is what drives us to set aside our time and our treasures, our talents and our testimonies to a purpose. Will it be his purpose? And will we be willing to be investing in ourselves to be able to invest in one another? Because this is what it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. I have to work on social awareness and sensitivity. It's not a natural habitat for me. For some of us, it comes naturally. For others, it's a matter of learning the social rules. But working on understanding and employing the EQ, or the heart, the empathy, is so helpful in learning to relate to one another and communicate better with others. And the best space in which to do that is to be confident of Jesus' love for me so that I can be vulnerable and courageous in sharing. I can acknowledge my weaknesses, especially when it comes to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which you know is a passion of mine. And when I get on the mats, I'm not the 40-year-old man who started and seemed to have a lot more agility. In those days, I wanted to win. I already had two black belts hidden away in a cupboard, and I went on the mats thinking that I was going to teach these guys a lesson. Little did I know that I wanted to prove myself more than I realized. Now, these days, at 53, I'm simply glad for the opportunity to get on the mats and roll. I noticed that I am somewhat more aged than I was when I started. I am somewhat larger than when I started, and so I use my weight and my leverage to my advantage. But I've also learned that there is joy not just in winning, but also in losing and learning, and more significantly, in teaching others and investing in others and helping them to progress. This is where EQ, or emotional intelligence, or a heart or passion which is invested as a love for others is such a blessing. It is in that space, how much more in the space of the things of God. It turns out that high EQ turns out to be a more accurate determinant of successful communications and relationships and leadership than any other domain. This is not off the top of my head. This is peer-reviewed academic research, and I'm going to give you somebody to quote here. A psychologist called Daniel Goleman, in his book Working with Emotional Intelligence, notes that for success at the highest levels in leadership positions, emotional competence accounts for virtually all the advantage. The data suggests that finding people who have these abilities or nurturing them in existing employees adds tremendous value to the organization's bottom line. Depending on the particular roles, he identified from studies threefold impact, 12-fold impact. So I guess I want to say, if loving God is expressed in loving ours, loving others, how might we seek to invest our passions? In what ways might we be able to increase in our vulnerability and our confession, our willingness to seek and offer forgiveness, reducing our tendencies to use positions that we might have in our family or our work or society for our own good, and seeking to genuinely express God's love for others through those relationships, based on the confidence that we have in a God who has come in the person of Jesus to lay down his life sacrificially for us, that we might be laying down our lives for others. The wonderful thing about this, brothers and sisters, is it isn't actually incumbent upon us at all. Let's face it, if I said to you, go and love and serve others in your own strength, I don't think any of us would get very far, really. The wonderful thing is that the Lord Jesus seeks to shine his light through us. The light shines. if you like, through the stained glass window. Rather like the image in a stained glass window, it remains invisible until the light shines through it. It is the Spirit of God, whom Jesus has given to us as his people, who indwells us since he ascended into heaven, who enables us to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and relationships. Actually, in the same gospel, John writes in chapter 8 how Jesus describes himself as the light of the world. His unique divinity and humanity rolled into one. He claims to be the exclusive source of spiritual light. And he says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And it's good to know that Jesus, who is the light of the world, also says to his disciples, "You too are the light of the world." We can be people walking into a dark room with a candle or a torch to bring the illumination of the Lord Jesus Christ in the way in which we speak and relate and act. And so it is that we may bear witness to his light. Sin darkens the hearts and lives of those who don't know Jesus. Their very being longs for enlightenment, to know him, to be redeemed by him, and to be given hope through him. And John wrote in his gospel, we bear witness to the light. He wrote of John the Baptist, he bears witness to the light. None of us ourselves are the light, but we can bear witness to Jesus as we surrender to the Spirit, that he may shine his light in and through us as we love the Lord our God with all our hearts. So let's ask him to help us in this. Should we pray together? Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would prepare our hearts and our heads to hear and heed and keep your word. Holy Spirit, help us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, to learn with all our mind, to long with all our soul, and to live with all our strength. Thank you for Jesus, who laid down his life for us. May it be that we seek the joy of knowing him as we seek to love others as he has loved us. By your grace, in the power of your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.